This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
6 weeks ago, CNN broke a blockbuster story. Based on several anonymous sources, it reported that former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen was present when then-candidate Trump was told in advance of the infamous Trump Tower meeting where Russian emissaries offered dirt on Hillary Clinton. Bam! A smoking gun of collusion.
Michael Cohen claims that then-candidate Donald Trump knew in advance about the June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower in which Russians were expected to offer his campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. Crucially, these sources tell us that Cohen is willing to make that assertion to the special counsel Robert Mueller.
One of those anonymous sources turns out to be Cohen's own lawyer, Lanny Davis, himself a political fixer and opportunist with a history of shady clients. But since then, Davis has not only walked back his allegation, he's recanted it. Here he is first with CNN's Anderson Cooper and then Fox News Channel's Howard Kurtz.
So Michael Cohen does not have information that President Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians beforehand or even
No,
after.
Does not.
Did you ever confirm to CNN reporters this allegation about the Trump Tower meeting off the record?
I was never sure. In my confirmation, I was uncertain, and in fact, I expressed my uncertainty, but not clear enough. So I can understand that they interpreted what I said as a confirmation and have not blamed CNN. I have blamed myself.
In the original reporting, bylined among others by famed Watergate reporter Carl Bernstein, in a standalone sixth paragraph, there was this sentence. Contacted by CNN, one of Cohen's attorneys, Lanny Davis, declined to comment. Now, depending on how you look at it, that's either technically true, if by the word comment you understand comment on the record, but another way to look at it is an outright lie told to readers to throw off the scent of an actual source. The most generous interpretation would be disingenuous, which no news report should ever be. And at this particular moment, when President Trump is not only trying to blame his countless outrages on fake reporting by a conspiratorial press, but characterizing that press as an enemy of the people, an enemies list upon which CNN is at the top. The implications are grave. Washington Post reporter Paul Fahey is covering this tempest in a teapot dome. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, let's start with this practice of sourcing misdirection. What CNN did is not especially unusual.
It's not unusual at all. It's fairly common, as a matter of fact. I can't tell you numerically how often it is done, but it's kind of routine in stories that you'll see, particularly reporting on Washington and some controversy in Washington. You see it all the time.
You spoke to a couple of journalism ethicists, and it's not as though they portrayed it as a gray area. They say, no, you just can't operate this way. But as you say, the practice persists. One of, I suppose the tawdrier tools of so-called access journalism. I'm embarrassed to confess I've done it myself at some point to protect the source in fear of losing his job. My guess is you've done it.
Yes, I have done it in the past. It was a throwaway. I didn't think twice about it, as a matter of fact. And I also didn't think about how ultimately deceptive it is. It is deceptive. You're throwing the reader off the scent of who his sources or her sources might be, and you're protecting the people who did give you the information. But the difference here is that this story was extremely consequential. It was really important. It goes to the legality of the whole whole presidency. Did he or did he not collude? So that raises the stakes enormously. And I think CNN has some real explaining to do.
Yeah, you said stakes. Let's talk stakes. Being caught in this gambit, CNN has played right into Trump's fake news narrative. It doesn't matter that over the past 2 years, news organizations have been very, very quick to acknowledge and correct, you know, a relative handful of errors in reporting on the administration. This story is a smoking gun, all right. A smoking gun of I told you so for the MAGA crowd, no?
Yeah, you don't want to give people who are looking for any flaw in your reporting any ammunition. And they gave the MAGA crowd ammunition with this one. It doesn't necessarily tell you that the story is wrong or that their sources aren't truthful, but it does give them an opportunity to nitpick the reporting and say that something must be wrong because this thing is out of line. And that's exactly what they've done.
Now, in past errors about the administration, from the beginning, a reporter said that a bust of Martin Luther King Jr. had gone missing from the Time magazine, from the Oval Office. And it turns out that his view of the bust was obscured. It was actually there all along. And it took them about, you know, I don't know, 6 hours to correct the story. But in this case, CNN has dug its heels in. Do I understand that they called you to complain about your story?
Yes, they weren't happy in two instances because early in the week I wrote about the story itself and the turning of Lenny Davis from source to non-source. They didn't like that story. And then when I raised this issue in a story, they were not pleased with me either. And, you know, my response to them is still the same, which is you're the one that needs to explain what you did, and you haven't done that. And I think for any news organization that's trying to be transparent, that any news organization that wants information from its own sources has an obligation to give that information to reporters, say, like me, who want to find that information. They're not being very transparent, and they're not explaining how they went about doing what they did.
You know, as a media reporter, perhaps you've discovered what we have over 18 years on this show, that it is really, really, really hard to get news organizations to make themselves available to talk about their story. There is skittish a group of potential interviewees as ever there was.
I am sighing over and over again as you're speaking because this is my greatest pet peeve, my greatest issue as a media reporter. Journalists are the world's greatest hypocrites, period. They want information. They don't like to give information. When people like us approach them, they do the very same things that government, that business, that anybody they would cover does, which is they duck and they cover, they hide, they don't comment, and they run away. And they have, it seems to me, a special obligation to explain themselves to people, if not to me, then to others, and to be transparent.
Now, I want to ask you about some collateral damage here. And I don't mean just doubt about CNN's journalistic integrity and the media's integrity writ large, but to this story itself. It was multiply sourced. It may still be correct, even if Lanny Davis was blowing smoke out of his assertion. Will this be like the CBS Dan Rather scandal in the George W. Bush administration, or the Cincinnati Enquirer and Chiquita Banana situation, or the ABC News and Food Lion bleached meat story, where getting caught in a dubious journalistic practice had the effect of erasing the ultimate truth of a genuine scandal? Does it matter anymore if the story was correct?
Well, it has clouded the issue, but I actually don't know the answer of whether the story is true or not. And I don't think any of the critics can say whether it's true or false, because what we don't know is who their other sources are, how good those sources are, and whether they're telling the truth. And you know, there's also a caveat here about Lanny Davis changing his story. As CNN has pointed out, he had a great incentive to change his story because his original story, unbeknownst to him, got his client, Michael Cohen, potentially into a perjury trap. So once apparently he realized that, he had every incentive to change his story. Again, this does not change the underlying truth or non-truth of the CNN story, but it does bear on it. And I can't tell whether it's wrong or not, and I'm certainly not going to be flat out saying it. The Trump administration likes to, but I don't think they really have the evidence to say that. CNN has a pretty good leg to stand on.
All right, Paul. Now, in the interest of transparency, I should say that we are friends, and I knew what you were going to say in answer to all of my questions because we had dinner Sunday night, and I already got these answers from you. But I wonder if in this this deja vu of an interview, there's a question that I failed to ask that gets to the heart of this story that I've neglected to pose to you.
No, I think that those are the basics of this story. You know, the Trump administration obviously has great incentives to say in almost every case where they're attacked that this is untrue or that the sources have an agenda or that there's something wrong with the so-called fake news media. And almost every time, as far as I can tell, almost every time, there are exceptions, that's not the case. So in terms of understanding whether this CNN story is true or not, the deck is kind of stacked against the critics. The onus is on them to show that this story is untrue. As far as we know and as far as we can tell, almost every other element about it does appear to be at least adequately reported.
Now, there is one further curious wrinkle to this story, and that is that in the past few days, President Trump has called, you know, Carl Bernstein a liar, and he has called his Watergate writing partner, Bob Woodward, a liar for the reporting in his book about Trump to be released in a few days titled Fear. Everything old is new again.
Yes. Shades of 1972 when Nixon was attacking a young Carl Bernstein and a young Bob Woodward at the Washington Post. It's exactly parallel.
Yeah. Tell me again, how did that come out?
Watch the end of All the President's Men. That gives it away.
Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Paul Fahrie is my pal and the media reporter for the Washington Post.